Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're also a full-line Honda dealer. Well, I say full-line generators and turf equipment, and then also they handle the full product line of steel products. So go by and see them. Generator season is right around the corner. You're going to need a generator when PG&E decides to turn power off. But go up and see them. They have lots on hand. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Okay, so today is May the 16th, 2021. The first part of the program at the very top of the hour was an update from the Israeli consulate. So if you missed that, wait till our friend Robert Exter here cuts out the commercials and pick it up later on this afternoon. It was a good update. And this hour we are continuing on with our guest Peter Friedman with his extensive research, actually, about the fact and fiction involved in the coronavirus, so we don't burn any more daylight for you, Mr. Friedman. Bill wants us to get back to statistics.
Yeah, you were talking about the numbers and the actual real numbers. Let
me give you a couple of numbers.
Okay.
As of 3 weeks ago, the CDC reported American deaths from COVID-19, which is another issue altogether. It's because there's a difference between dying with COVID and dying from COVID.
Yeah, big difference.
And the CDC on their website says only 6% have died from COVID. Okay? But the CDC reported 500,400 deaths. This was 3 weeks ago. And if you divide that number by the total population of America, 320 million, you have a result that is 0.00001. That means one death for every 100,000. But that's not what the government did. What they did was they took the 500,400 and they divided that by the positive testing cases, which came out to be 7 out of 10,000, when the actual number is one death for every 100,000. So the government reported, this is 3 weeks ago, 79,611,982 total COVID tests performed, with 6,873,739 testing positive. Now, if you take that 6,873,000 and you divide it by the 79,611,000, now they come out and they say, oh my God, we have a 9% positive test rate.
Yeah, no.
That's crap.
Yeah. Plus, they are taking into consideration the people that have been tested more than once.
Oh, of course not. Okay? So you have to go and take a look as to how many are actually infected, and you have to answer three questions. Number one, how reliable is the test? Who was tested? And how many deaths did COVID really cause? And what you come up with based on the statistically correct numbers, not Common Core nonsense, this is a laboratory-created pandemic. The main test that is used is called the polymerase chain reaction, or PCR test. The problem is the test was created in Germany a year ago. Okay? Quality controls for the testing were ignored completely for COVID-19. Nobody has any idea or any data whatsoever about the efficacy of the PCR test, because the test results vary depending upon when you test someone after they become infected. Hmm. So the PCR test has got a 20% false rate. Okay, so who needs to get tested? In order to be accurate, you need to discriminate within a population. So if you have an asymptomatic population, you only have to do minimal tests. You know they're asymptomatic. You know they're going to come up negative. Leave them alone. So if you have a very vulnerable population, okay, then you have people with comorbidities. For example, they have heart disease, they have obesity, they have diabetes, okay? Then these are the people that should be tested, and those people need to be put someplace where you can tend to them. Now, one of the interesting things that you put on the website down there with the research information is the report by Dr. Peter McCullough and his group. These are guys who are MDs who actually are treating and have treated COVID patients, okay, with excellent results. McCullough came out with this report in last August, and in the report, he argues that the CDC has never come out with any outpatient protocol treatment. Now, we know that when Trump tested positive, he immediately went over to Bethesda Naval Hospital. They treated him with hydroxychloroquine, with Regeneron, with ivermectin, and the guy immediately recovered and came out. However, if you go to your doctor and you test positive, your doctor is prohibited from prescribing any outpatient therapeutic protocol for you. You've got to read Dr. McCullough's report. Now, he put out the report in August. Some Republican senators had him come up to the Hill, and he testified in November. He went home. His daughter said, "Dad, why don't you create a YouTube about the testimony?" He created the YouTube. Actually, his daughter created the YouTube for him. Put it up on YouTube, and within 5 days, YouTube took it down and said he violated their terms of service. What is fascinating is if you have Fox Nation, if you are a subscriber to Fox Nation, Tucker Carlson just did a 45-minute interview on Fox Nation with Dr. McCullough, and you've got to watch this. It is worth paying whatever it is now for Fox Nation just to watch the interview with Dr. McCullough. And Dr. McCullough is sitting there with Tucker going, "You know something, Tucker? There's something funny going on here. Why are there no individual outpatient treatment protocols?" Nothing. The answer from the medical community and the government is you've got to take the vaccine. Take the vaccine, period. I've had these discussions with my doctor, with several other doctors, and they all say the same thing. We are prohibited. We are prohibited, and we will lose our medical license if we treat a COVID-19 positive patient with any therapeutics that are not approved. And I asked each one of them, "Well, what's approved?" None of them.
Wow.
Now, you've got to ask yourself why. You've got to ask yourself why. Okay?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, and in this interview with Carlson will blow you away when you hear this and you read his report that he co-wrote with a number of other MDs talking about the fact that here is what they've done, here is how they have treated outpatient people when they first test positive. And if you catch it early and you treat it with the right therapeutics, they don't wind up in the hospital. So, you know, it occurred to me, if you take all of the people, the 500 and some odd thousand Americans who died, most of them were over 65. You know what that saved the country in Medicaid and Medicare payments?
No.
Over $30 billion.
Wow.
$30 billion. Now, if you expand that to the 3.5 million elderly who died worldwide, gee, that comes out to about $400 billion in savings to the governments in paying for Medicare and Medicaid patients, the National Health Service in the UK, Italy. All you got to do is think about it.
Wow.
There's a lot of money involved here. There's a hell of a lot of money. So why would they want to allow people to catch this, not cure them early, and let them try and go through it at home until they get to the point where they can't breathe? They send them to the hospital, and what the people in the hospital immediately do is they put them on intubation. They put them on intubation so that they in the hospital can't catch this, because an intubated person, of course, can't spread it.
Oh.
Now, I'm not telling you what's going on. I'm telling you what the research shows. This is what is going on. Draw your own conclusions. Okay? So,
that's
for
creepy.
Example, the case fatality rates for seasonal flu are 0.1, in other words, 0.1% to 0.2%. Okay? There are approximately 500,000 flu deaths in the world population of 7 billion. So if you take on an annual basis the 500,000 flu deaths from the seasonal flu and you divide it by 7 billion, your death rate now comes out to 0.00007. Or worldwide from the seasonal flu annually, 7 people per 100,000. Well, wait a minute. There's very little difference between the death rate from the seasonal flu and from COVID-19.
How about that?
How about that?
That's not a pandemic.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay? So we talk about this thing being produced in the laboratory. There's a very good book that came out. You can buy it on Amazon for about $7. It's on my last list on my slide on the PowerPoint. It was originally published in Germany in April of last year. And these two molecular biologists and MDs, Dr. Karina Rice and Dr. Sucharit Bhakti, you've seen Sucharit Bhakti, I believe, on Ingram's show, Laura Ingram, periodically. And they published a book in Germany in April of last year called Corona False Alarm, with a question mark. Facts and figures. The book was in German. It was translated into English in June of last year, and they couldn't find an American publisher to publish it. They finally got it published in England, and it's on Amazon. I strongly suggest that you buy the book. It's $7. It's one of the best things that you can invest in. And you read this. And here are the facts and figures as they found in Germany when it's all started in Germany. Now, if you want to connect dots, let's connect some dots. Dot number one, it was an election year.
How convenient.
Dot number one. Oh, dot number two. Well, because of COVID, we're going to scare the hell out of the population and everybody can vote by mail. Don't we all know how that wound up, okay? I'm trying to go through this quickly unless we can do this again in another week or two.
Let's take a really quick break and then we can roll to the top of the hour. And I just want to add to dot number one, it was an election year. And one of the guys that was running was somebody they really, really hated.
Yeah, so, might have had something to
do. I mean, election year is always poignant.
And it worked out so well, we're going to probably do it again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're definitely talking to you some more about this. Sorry we had to give this a bum's rush, but we will come back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People, and you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Are you with me, Dr. Wu? just a shadow of the man that I once knew. Are you crazy? Are you high? Or just an ordinary guy? Have you done all you can do? Are you with me, doctor?
I went to my family doctor for a pain inside my head. Told him that since you left me, I was feeling like just about dead. Well, doctor, what can you give me? And could it take one or two? Can you tell me just what it's gonna do? Will it save me from what I'm going through? Will it ease the pain? Will it ease the pain? Will it help to pacify?
That's the $64,000 question. Back to the dots.
Okay. Well, you start thinking about these dots. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't believe in coincidences. I do believe in perfect storms when all of the causal events, you know, do a chain reaction. I mean, I've done a lot of aircraft accidents and stuff, and you know, I can tell. Well, no, that wasn't an act of God. Okay, here's what happened, and this led to this, and then this led to this, and this, on and on and on. So there's all kinds of dots in here, and if you go to my PowerPoint, you'll see a lot of these dots. I bring the dots up, and you connect the dots, okay? If the connection is okay with you, that's fine, and if it's not, I respect that too. But let's talk about masks, because there is so much garbage out there about these masks. Absolutely unbelievable. The mask now is for the Democrats was the what the MAGA hat was, you know, for Trump voters.
Yeah, kind of. That's true.
Yeah, so if you wear a mask today, you look at people walking out on the street in the fresh air. They're wearing a mask. They're obviously Democrats.
I like them in their car by themselves wearing their mask. That's my favorite.
Okay. Masks except for the N95 mask made in America, not the KN95 mask made in China, the U.S.-made N95 mask, if it's worn correctly, is the only mask that will prevent you from contracting this virus from somebody who has it. Now, let me explain how the mask works. Your cloth mask have a 97% penetration rate. They're absolutely worthless. You ought to leave them in the bathroom in case you run out of toilet paper. Okay. The virus, to get through, has to have a host. The thickness of the virus, okay, the actual virus molecule is 0.01 of a nanomicron. It's 0.01 nm, nanomicron. Do you know how thick a micron is? A micron is 1,000th of a millimeter. A nanomicron, 1 nanomicron, is 1,000th of 1,000th of a millimeter. So a 0.01 thickness of the actual virus molecule, okay, is 1/100th of 1,000th of a micron. It's going to pass through anything. It's like a mosquito. You're putting up a chain link fence in your backyard and hoping that it's going to stop mosquitoes from coming into the backyard.
That doesn't work?
No, it doesn't work. Of course not. The mosquitoes fly in and out of the chain link fence. Oh,
explains a lot, right?
The virus,
to be infective, has to have a host. It has to attach itself. So imagine a mosquito who lands on a leaf, and the leaf then blows towards the chain link fence. The chances are the chain link fence will stop the leaf. Okay? The mosquito doesn't get through. So this is what we're talking about. It takes an electron microscope in order to see the virus molecule. That's how small it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you take these cloth masks and everything, they're completely worthless. They're totally worthless. Okay? I have a whole thing in the PowerPoint on masks and mask protection, and it's stupid. One of the things I have in there, have you ever heard of Flonase?
Yeah.
You know, for allergies.
Right.
I have that in there too, Flonase. It has a corticosteroid in it called fluticasone. F-L-U-C-T-I-C-I-S-O-N-E. Okay, the brand name is Flonase. Well, how does it work? Inside your sinuses, it looks like honeycomb. Imagine a beehive. And you have all these little cells in there. Well, what the fluticasone does, when you spray it in your nose, it fills those cells up so that the allergens can't get in to your system. Nobody in the last year and a half has even recommended to shoot fluticasone every morning and every evening. Why don't you fill those cells out? Because that's where you catch the virus the most, is through your nasal passage. That's why they do the PCR test with a swab inside your nose.
I thought that was actually Make testing sense? Your brain. It looks like they ram it up there pretty far.
Well, they don't have to, okay? I mean, sometimes they do that, you know, depending upon, you know, what kind of a test you're actually having. But if you take and you shoot and spray in your nose every morning some Flonase, the chances are you're going to be somewhat protected more than you even are with a mask. Makes sense. It's all over the counter, for God's sake.
Mm.
Okay. So I told you about how they classified COVID-19 deaths. I have several death certificates on the PowerPoint showing that there was a guy on a motorcycle. The guy got killed on a freeway on the motorcycle, and when they took him into the morgue and they were doing a autopsy on the guy, for the hell of it, they did a COVID test. They found he was COVID positive. So the cause of death they talk about is now he died from COVID-19. No, he didn't. He got killed on a motorcycle, and he just happened to test positive in the morgue. So this is kind of what's
going on. I like the gunshots, people who had gunshots, and, you know, because that kept coming out. Gunshot wound, died of COVID. It's like, they could not.
You know, and then we got the whole nonsense with Cuomo in New York. He needs 40,000 ventilators, and the hospitals are all going to be overrun. And so what did Trump did? He sent the hospital ship there, which never got used. They sent up a whole MASH unit in Javits Center, which never got used. And he didn't need 40,000 ventilators, okay? What they wanted the ventilators for was to intubate patients so the hospital workers, of course, would not catch COVID. Okay? So we've had kind of a whole thing here. What's really interesting is when you go to the your website and you download the PowerPoint and you go through the PowerPoint and then you read this research that's on there on this website with Dr. McCullough and everything, man, it opens your eyes. Okay?
Yeah, you start to see the big picture. Hey, and you know, just so you don't feel like you're being chased by a pack of dogs here the last half hour trying to fit everything in, we have you scheduled for the 30th, and we were going to talk about climate change.
Right.
If we want to plan on the fly, we could do the second half of this and then move climate change another week. Mull that over on your secondary brain track while we're chatting here.
Okay.
See if that flies for you.
Now, there's one of the problems that arose, which I have personal experience with, when this whole thing broke out, is the fact that the hospitals thought they were going to be inundated with COVID patients, and they stopped doing surgeries. They stopped doing testing and cancer testing and everything else.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you my experience. starting in the end of March, I had an enlarged prostate, and I needed a what's called a TURP procedure, a transurethral resection procedure, where they go up your willy with a first oversized drill, okay, so that you can actually
Bill
urinate.
Just passed out. We lost
I
Bill.
I cleaned that up. Well, on March 17th, I had to have a Foley catheter put in, and from March 18th till June 2nd, till I could get a hospital surgery date, I had a catheter in and was draining into a bag strapped to my leg.
Because you couldn't get in the hospital.
And I couldn't get in the hospital, couldn't get a surgery date. Now, under normal circumstances, I would have been in within 72 hours. I spent almost 3 months sitting at home with this bag strapped to my leg, saw the doctor several times, and the doctor said, gee whiz, you know, the problem is that the government says that that's not an essential surgery. I said, really? I said, bend over. I'm going to show you how essential it is. So, you know, anger?
Okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about whether to vaccinate or not. We should only create a vaccine to prevent serious illness. Now, you remember back in 2003, the pharmaceutical companies, with the original SARS virus that came out, they spent $40 billion on the come because they thought it was going to turn into a worldwide pandemic and they were going to make a bloody fortune.
Mm-hmm.
We should only create a vaccine to prevent serious illness. This virus has a 98.9% recovery rate. Okay? Vaccinations will fail if the virus undergoes mutation. So you got King Fauci out there now all the time hopping up and down about, you know, the vaccination only lasts for about 3 to 6 months, and we now put it on the list of seasonal flus at the CDC, which means it's probably going to come back every year. It's going to be a different strain. This is such a mass propaganda thing, it is almost unbelievable. Joseph Goebbels would be proud.
God.
Yeah, because they're going to market this vaccine now for perpetuity.
But they're not guaranteed.
Right.
The vaccine is experimental. It's still, even though we have vaccinated 100 million people in this country, the biggest clinical trial ever happened, because we do not know what the long-term effects are, the CDC will not, or the FDA will not approve it. Okay, they will only issue an emergency use authorization for this vaccine. They will not approve it for several years until they find out what the long-term effects are. In the meantime, the government has given the vaccine makers complete liability immunity because it's an experimental chemical. It's never been done before. Think about that.
Yeah.
These vaccines, they're all gene-based. Gene-based. It's never happened before. They introduce plasmid into each cell genome, which creates an inflammation and toxic effects. Okay, we already know that some of these things have been causing blood clots. If you have had COVID, for God's sake, don't get the vaccine. You are going to get very sick because the vaccine now is going to be fighting with the antibody immunity that you've already built up.
Yeah, there's a pilot lives up in Siskiyou County, and he felt that because of he's a bush pilot, and because of the rules in aviation and whatnot, they were really pressuring him to get the shot, but he had already had the virus. So he went ahead and got the shot. Then he was diagnosed with some kind of, like, you know, to say mild leukemia sounds weird, but I guess it wasn't the kind that kills you right away. He would have lived for, you know, a pretty long time. And his doctor said, oh, because now you have this leukemia, you better get that second shot. And the minute he did it,
yeah, killed him.
Inflammation, a big inflammation response, had a heart attack, multiple things, and within days was on life support down at UC Davis, at which point they said, we can't explain any of the things that have happened, but basically he died.
The vaccines can cause myocardial inflammation.
Yep.
Okay?
And there
That's
he went.
That's exactly what you're talking about. For God's sake, read the literature that we're talking about today. You've got it on your website. And look at the PowerPoint. Don't do it if you have any kind of comorbidity. The FAA says that if you are, as a pilot, okay, as I am, if you take the vaccine, you may not fly or operate an aircraft for at least 72 hours to see how you react. The vaccines have not undergone normally required testing. That's why they have to have emergency use authorization. The damn testing takes 2 to 3 years to find out, you know, the efficacy of it and whether they're safe. So there are certain groups of people, certain populations, that absolutely should not take the vaccine. Read the research, okay? To be called a pandemic, you have to satisfy three criteria. Number one, the pathogen must be new. Got to be something nobody ever dealt with before. Two, the pathogen must spread rapidly and across continents. And three, the pathogen must cause serious and often fatal disease. Well, if there's a 98.9 recovery rate, it doesn't qualify as a pandemic.
Hmm.
Okay? The swine flu, 1976, President Ford, H1N1, and then Obama in 2009, who totally blew it. Matter of fact, Ron Klain was on TV several months ago. He's Biden's chief of staff. And Ron Klain came out and admitted that under Obama that they absolutely blew the H1N1 virus. And they fudged the numbers, and finally they didn't even put it on the media anymore. The World Health Organization, there's a wonderful little subsidiary of the UN. They decided then to declare a pandemic anyway.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and come back with that, because honestly, from the very beginning, the whole use of the term pandemic, I never really understood. I guess if once everybody starts saying it, you can, well, kind of like saying that this is a vaccine and it isn't. Apparently, once you call it that, that's what it is. How silly is that? We're going to come back. Our guest is Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Just a little science goes a long way. It's too bad we don't use it that much. So in the last, like, 15 minutes here, I feel like we're cramming for an exam.
For the last 15 minutes, let me tell you what's in the vaccine.
Ooh, that'll be bad news.
Oh, you're going to love this. Now, on the website, you put up that chart, a PDF chart of vaccine, what are called vaccine excipients. And you can look up vaccines that you've taken in the past, and you can find out precisely what the formula is and what's in them. Let me tell you what's in these vaccines. Okay? First, the chemical in the vaccine are lipids, L-I-P-I-D-S. A lipid is a triglyceride. So when you go into your doctor, you get a blood test, and he's checking for triglycerides and what your number is. If you have terribly high triglycerides, you're probably pre-diabetic. A lipid is a fat. Now, think about your dog or your cat, and you want to give the dog or cat a pill, but they won't take the pill by itself. So what do? You take a little piece of dog food, and you hide the pill inside the dog food, and then when they eat that, they get the pill.
Yeah.
This is what the lipid does in the vaccine. It assists the messenger ribonucleic acid, the mRNA, to enter your cell. Then they have to put salt in it because the salt balances the acidity that's present in your body. Okay? So they've got to change the pH because otherwise the acid in your body is just going to ruin it. Then they put in sucrose. Sucrose is table sugar. Okay? And the table sugar is put into the vaccine to keep the molecules in their shape that's necessary during the freezing process. That's why you heard about the Pfizer vaccine has got to be kept in dry ice and subtemperature and everything else, because otherwise the whole thing comes apart. Well, what else is in there? They have polyethylene glycol, which is a part of antifreeze that goes into your car. Polyethylene glycol, by the way, is also in laxatives. They have cholesterol. That's interesting. And lastly, they have formaldehyde. So I guess they're trying to embalm you before it's necessary. This is what is in the vaccine. You know, when you go to the drugstore, you get a prescription, and you get this little poop sheet, we call it, and it's got three pages of what's in it, what could happen to you.
Oh, in micro font, so it's probably more like 20 pages.
You know, takes a magnifying glass to read the thing, and most of us just go, okay, all right, I see what that is. It's Naperson, yeah, and okay, I got these three pages, and I'm going to use that for inflammation. Naperson basically is the prescription Aleve. And you throw it away. You don't even bother reading it. Well, you have on your website now the excipient list of everything contained in all of these vaccines that are available, whether it's polio, whether it's diphtheria, whether it's whooping cough. And you can see what's in these things. And people were screaming about, my God, they're putting mercury years ago in vaccines. Well, now you have the list. And everybody has access to it. And it took me months to dig this stuff out. But you have fat, you have sugar, you have salt, you have polyethylene glycol, cholesterol, and formaldehyde in that vaccine. Okay? Now, we get to what's interesting about Bill Gates. And Bill Gates is going to come up in the climate change thing. Mr. Gates has been in the news recently. However, in June last year, Gates said, and I quote, "We will ultimately administer this newly developed vaccine to 7 billion people, so we cannot afford problems with adverse side effects. However, we will make the decision to use the vaccine on a smaller database than usual, and this will enable rapid progress." There's a dot for you. And this is going to come up with Mr. Gates in the climate change thing, because the climate change scam basically is routed towards depopulation. Now, why would you want to put an experimental vaccine into 7 billion people, phony up any side effects, because you can go to the CDC, you can go to the VAERS, CDC.gov, website, and you can take a look at all the adverse side effects that have been reported that they're willing to list. Was this actually the correct way to fight a virus that has a 98.9% recovery rate? What else is going on here? And the next time we can talk about the actuarial acceptable death rate. Okay? They've cleaned this up and they call it a risk-benefit analysis. I've been involved in that in aircraft engineering for 50 years. And I can tell you exactly what this is. And they use it in pharmaceuticals, they use it in aviation, they use it in chemicals. Okay? Anywhere there might be a risk associated with any manufacturing process. Are we going to have more benefits than the risk shows? Okay? The greater good. God help us if you ever hear somebody talk about the greater good. Okay? Because you don't want to be
in real trouble at that point.
Yep.
Well, you're at the back of the line.
I'll leave you with a great Mark Twain quote. Mark Twain said many years ago, quote, "It is easier to fool the public than convince the public they have been fooled."
Hmm.
There's another dot. Think about that, and we can end on that note if you want.
We have 8 minutes left, so we probably ought to fill them.
You know, it just, if you start digging, you know, unfortunately, this whole COVID-19 thing is like a hemophiliac. You know, if they get scratched and they start to bleed, it's very hard to stop the bleeding. Why investigative reporters have not scratched this, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I go back to, you know, the dot about an election year. Joseph Stalin once said, quote, "It isn't who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes."
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden when you start to think about these things and you start to take these things that heretofore may have been out in left field and you start to bring them into the infield and you look at them in totality, a picture begins to come up, you know, and I've got other stuff here. I don't know if you've looked at the PowerPoint, you know, but take a look at it. And who has this COVID-19 pandemic helped? Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Google? Walmart. Okay? Just keep on going.
Well, it's also not very difficult to make the case that the forced compliance, you know, it's been a pretty great dry run on forced compliance. How far can you control people? Can you get them to stay home? Can you get them to wear a mask?
People sit there and they talk about vaccine passports. This week, Delta Airlines said that from now on, they will not hire anybody. This includes pilots. They will not hire anybody unless they can prove that they have been vaccinated.
In your research, Peter, what about all the people like me who can't get the vaccine because I have an anaphylaxis situation? So...
Oh, please.
They might as well just like stuff a peanut in my mouth and be done with it. And so what about those people?
Absolutely. You are not within that population that was clinically tested.
Well, lots of people.
So they're doing a one-size-fits-all here. Now the FDA has said, you know, it looks like you can vaccinate kids that are 12 to 15. Really? Well, have you changed the dosage? Maybe you can't hit them with that full dose for an adult. No, there are no clinical trials that have been done where the dosage has been changed. I'll tell you something. I think, and it's only my opinion, I think that we're going to find out in 2 to 3 years that people who have taken this vaccination aren't going to live as long as the people who haven't. Because I think that these vaccines are going to be discovered to have disrupted your DNA. They did not test this on pregnant women. And now all of a sudden, the FDA is saying, well, we're going to give emergency use authorization for pregnant women. Well, how? You remember thalidomide?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. See, that's my big concern and has been all along is, okay, they made this an emergency use vaccine, if you want to call it that. But they don't know what the long-term effect of this is going to be 5 years from now. I mean, we've all seen the commercials. Hey, if you've been exposed to this drug, you know, call a lawyer. Well, my God, what's going to happen if they find out this vaccine is changing your DNA and all of a sudden, you know, you're having deformed kids or you can't have kids? I mean, what then?
Trial lawyers are going to make a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Well,
let me think.
Back to those of us who can't get the shot, when they mandate it for everybody or what they think they're going
to
do, and it's not an option for people...
Yeah.
You should get a note from your doctor.
Oh, you mean like the one I had that said, because I have such reduced lung capacity, I can't wear a mask? That didn't work out so good.
I have a friend of mine just like that. The problem is that he's with Kaiser, and Kaiser won't do that.
He wrote me a note. Actually, I did fly back and forth to Missouri last June. Never did wear a mask. Actually, I've worn a mask 3 times in the last year, and it's a mask you can read through, so it doesn't really count as a mask, actually.
Well,
it was enough to fool Costco. How about that?
Government's not mandating the mask, but they're letting the private industry do that. And that's how they're forcing people to get the vaccine,
yeah.
Because... you can't get back to normal life unless you can prove you've been vaccinated.
Yeah.
Isn't it stunning?
It opens up all kinds of discrimination.
Oh, my gosh. You look at these people. I mean, let's go ahead and just rip the Band-Aid off. Look at all these people we have coming across the border and being shuttled all over our country. Who the heck knows where? Who knows if these people have the virus or not? Meanwhile, back at the ranch... there is an attorney that I work with quite a bit. He had to go to Spain for a case. On his way back, now this guy had the virus. He was out for several months. He was really sick. He's got a lot of problems. And so he's super sick, has the virus, and got the shot. Craziness. But he tested positive. They have him in an 8x8 cell where they're going to keep him for 14 days because... he tested positive in some goofy test, and he's stuck on a Navy base in Spain. Can't get anybody to release him. Hey, I just looked at the time, and we just ran out of it.
Oh, we're definitely having you back.
So we're going to do this some more, because we have a lot of questions. If people would like to have questions answered on the next program, go on the website and email Bill or email me, and we'll send them to Peter Friedman. We'll answer them next time. Hopefully next week we have the update on Arizona. Thank you, Mr. Friedman. We will talk to you soon.
Always.
You can find us at We the People Radio. And Bill said...
.us.